The arts sector has been arguing unsuccessfully for federal assistance as the country's cultural enterprises struggle with the economic hit from the pandemic shutdowns. But it has been especially harsh for artists in small communities in the Northern Territory, where they rely on art revenue for both income and community development. Papunya is a Central Australian community that was pivotal in the birth of the modern Indigenous art movement, and managers there are projecting losses in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. Oliver Gordon reports.
Jupi Arts in Papunya is usually packed with painters, creating some of Australia's most notable art. But since coronavirus has come along, manager Emma Collard says things have changed.
It's meant a couple of things for us. Like, obviously, a lot of opportunities have either been cancelled or postponed. And it also meant that we had to close our studio space, which is where all the artists produce their works for sale, for 5 weeks. So with both of those things in mind, we've been looking at a $380,000 loss in painting sales.
The closure of borders, galleries and major art fairs is leaving artists like Linda Anderson out of pocket and at a loose end.
Sort of like feeling isolated and missing out on painting and going out shopping.
The money being lost from the Papunya community is having an impact in key places.
What are the sort of things that are harder to get now that there's less painting money?
I think power and food. Also, we sometimes help people who don't have money. We, you know, contribute to other families as well.
At this time of year, tourists usually visit Jupi Arts in droves, and on a good week, that can bring in as much as $20,000 to the art centre. With borders still closed, the Jupi artists had to come up with another way to connect visitors to their work. So they created a website that mimics the experience of coming to visit Papunya.
The website is an alternative to getting to visit us in Papunya. So we've tried to be able to transport viewers to Papunya community, where you can see the beautiful landscape and learn about the artist's work and about their stories and hear their voices.
Underneath sweeping views of the desert, there are links to artworks where artists explain in the local language Luritja what their paintings mean and where they come from.
Would like to welcome you, paintings woman.
Artist Linda Anderson says it's important the website showcases the landscape.
Because the stories stay, the artists stay, and the country stay at Papunya.
Across the country, stories similar to Papunya's are playing out. Lawyer Steph Parkin works for the Indigenous Art Code, a national body that monitors the sector.
We're definitely hearing that this is an issue that is affecting a whole range of the Indigenous Art Code members across the nation. So this includes Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander art centres, independent artists, and also art dealers and art market professionals that are in this space as well.
The advocate is excited to see art centres adapt to the current times and move online, but warns the move does involve some risk.
It will be important to ensure that those artists who are moving their practice online are aware of the platforms within which they're operating on, and you know, to take measures to try and ensure that artworks and their products hopefully are somewhat sort of minimised from being copied and exploited in that way.
For artist Linda Anderson, who's seen her community's painting money dry up, the website offers a new way for her to sell her art. But she says the reason someone might buy it, that remains the same.
We call it an aparti, that, you know, people can buy it and we can tell a story, and it's a learning for both.
Artist Linda Anderson speaking with Oliver Gordon.